Hey, Kristen, how's it tracking?
With Carvana Value Tracker?
What else?
Oh, it's tracking. In fact, Value Surge Alert, trucks up 2.5%. Vans down 1.7%.
Just as predicted.
Mm-hmm.
So, we gonna...
I don't know. Could sell, could hold.
The power to always know our car's worth.
Exhilarating, isn't it?
Tracking.
Always know your car's worth with Carvana Value Tracker.
Merkel Media.
He put it in park, threw open the driver's door, ran out the side of the car, across the front of it, and jumped right off the side of the bridge in front of me.
The only people that really pulled over were truckers.
He said, "We're going Hodge," and he didn't slow down. He went across the median onto the oncoming traffic, but where they could see him coming, they just got out of the way.
I noticed his plane was really low. He went right in front of us, hit the fence, and it spun around. You know, 30 seconds more, he could have hit us.
And I went around that truck, and a guy stepped out from behind the truck and threw a piece of wood, and it shot through my window just like a spear and stuck in the back of the cab of my truck.
That's probably one of the stranger things I've seen.
Welcome to Hammer Lane Legends. I am Brian Merkel.
I'm Brian Shipper.
And I'm Mike Dre.
If you've got a crazy and wild story you would like to share with us from the road, if you have stories you'd just like to share with us from the road, if you've been experienced as an experienced driver, if you're an inexperienced driver, if you've been driving for 6 months, if you've been driving for 60 years, well, if you've been driving for 60 years, you should retire. But that's an aside.
You had a lot of coffee today.
I did. Started off the day well again.
This is what happens when he has a week off.
Yeah. Oh, you sleep and a lot of coffee.
I know, right? It's amazing what happens when you're a driver and you actually get a chance to sleep.
Wait till next week's recordings. It'll be all the crapper.
Yeah, welcome to Hammer Lane Legends.
Welcome to Hammer Lane Legends.
I'm Brian in the bathroom.
Just a bit outside.
Yeah, we're sitting in the outhouse.
No, I can't come there. It's only two-seater.
Yeah, you're the third wheel. You have to wait, take your turn.
I'll be outside the door. Open the door every time we say something.
Anyway, go ahead and contact us at hammerlanelegends@gmail.com. That's hammerlanelegends@gmail.com. Also,
take notice to the new address.
Take notice to the new address that is in the show notes.
Are they?
They are, yes.
No. Now we're asking people to read.
Right.
This is a video or an audio podcast. Not reading here.
This is for video entertainment. This is for,
well,
for entertainment
purposes
only. This is our disclaimer. Entertainment purposes only.
We don't offer financial advice, health advice, nothing.
Oh, financial. Now what'd you do? It's right there.
It's over there. Hang on. Be right back.
I'll be right back. He had to go downstairs for a second. Anyway, while we're talking about all these things, if you're watching us on YouTube, do us a favor. Do us a solid. I keep forgetting to say this stuff.
Click like and subscribe.
Thank you, Mike. Fantastic. Well played.
You think it sucked, at least subscribe to
it. Just subscribe. You don't even have to watch us. I mean, it would be nice. If you find us enjoyable, watch. Yeah, enjoyable,
we're kind of like Gravity. You know, everything sucks eventually.
Just put the video in the background, walk away, whatever.
Yeah,
as long as play it to the end and we get credit.
Yep. We do hope you enjoy the show. And if you do enjoy the show, I mean, I know we do this at the end of the thing, but we keep forgetting to say it at the end, so we're going to say it at the beginning. Hit.
Like and subscribe.
Thank you, Mike.
And share the show.
And if you listen to us on podcast, give us a 5-star rating. And write a nice little review if you like. I mean, that's how the show grows. That brings us up in the algorithm or whatever that thing is, the rhythm that they got going on. I have no idea. I really don't understand those things. Like, I don't
know. The rhythm got you moving?
Feel the rhythm of the night?
Oh. So anyway, keep us fueled, keep us caffeinated. BuyMeACoffee.com/Hammerlane virtual tip jar. If you like what we're doing, if you like contributing, have at it. Take a look. If you don't, thanks for looking. Anyway, today
Fantastic.
We have
Look at
Kyle.
How excited he was. Today yeah. We do have Kyle. Kyle, how are you doing?
Well, he looks like
I'm
he was
doing pretty good.
He probably was.
I'm doing good today. How are you guys?
You know what? If we were any better, you wouldn't believe it. I mean, That's how good it is. That's how fantastic. We're up here in Pennsylvania. Did you guys get any snow from this snowstorm that's blowing through for us tomorrow?
Yeah, not the mystery. I mean, we got a lot of snow last week. They called us off work last Monday, and then Friday night we went out and it was pretty bad. Like, it took me normally it takes me about an hour and 50 minutes to get up to Columbus, and it took me like 2 hours and 40 minutes to get up there. Wow. So we had a lot, and then I was in Pittsburgh Thursday night, I think it was, and I saw that they got snow up there, I guess, during the day, but it's just rain right now. So
and you're in Cincinnati, good. Right?
Yeah, it's 37 degrees here, so we just got rain, luckily, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, we got a snowstorm coming tomorrow, and we're in eastern PA, well, you know where we're at, we're around the Allentown area, and they're talking what, according to my, you know.
According to 9 inches.
Yeah, because it's Pennsylvania, so, you know. Lowest to highest.
Or it could be 80 degrees. You don't know.
It could be, yeah, because tomorrow's another
no,
day.
No, I said this before, and I'll say it again. I'll put it on record. I am going to get my snowplow tomorrow morning. So that means strap in, fire up the snowblowers. You're going to need them.
It'll be a dusting.
Did you ever see Red, the movie Red? Did you guys ever see the movie Red?
Bruce Willis.
I am getting the pig.
John Malkovich holding that stupid thing.
It popped into my head. I'm sorry. Anyway, back to Kyle.
Is it time for the pig yet?
It's time for the pig.
Okay, terrific.
If you haven't seen the movie, you got to watch the movie.
Oh, right. My word, dude. It just popped into my head. It's like music. It just, boink, it was there. And, you know, like the feel of rhythm of the night.
We don't have to say everything that pops into our head.
Yeah, they told me I can't. What?
Being critiqued on the things that pop into your head.
They told me I can't.
Oh, there's a reason for that.
It's way too descriptive, the stuff that pops into your head.
Yeah, but it's fun to listen to.
It's usually offensive.
It is.
Anyway, Kyle, right. So how have you been? I mean, how's everything been going for you since the last time we chit-chat? Everything going okay?
Well, the last time we talked, I was working at Pitt, and we'll talk about what happened with that. But since then, I got a different job and was.
Did it lose your headphone? You're still coming through okay to us. I mean, we can.
Oh, okay. Yeah, it lost my headset. I guess I don't really need this, but
yeah, it's up
to you. But yeah. I was doing agriculture work for my friend for a while, an owner-operator, and I was over the road, and I really didn't enjoy that. So basically all summer, it was kind of a depressing summer. And then most recently, I got a job at Ward, another LTL company, and I'm enjoying that so far. And other than that, though, I've been pretty good. I've been trying to have a little bit more work-life balance than I did before, and I think that's working out mentally for me. So good. I'm pretty good.
Good. If you want to try and get your headset back on, that's fine. That's up to you. And that way,
yeah, I don't know why it disconnected on me. Yeah, I don't. Yeah, I know we're like recording. I don't know how editing goes. So
please stand
we'll
by.
Stand by.
Yeah, we'll you know
get
no
the
worries,
music
dude.
Playing.
Meanwhile,
just don't let Shipper use his imagination while we're sitting here talking.
There you go.
There you go.
You're in.
Yep. It sounds right. Just if you have a microphone right at your mouth. It comes through a little bit better.
Sound and, better. Okay. Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah. Luckily, we were only about 3 minutes into that. Makes it easy. So.
Yep.
No problem.
Yeah.
Anyway.
But yeah, I was.
I don't know.
I've been working at Ward and. I'm really enjoying that. I'm basically on the same shift I was before, and crap. And other than that, I've been just staying busy. So
good. That's really good. And they're a good place to be at. Ward.
Yeah, they're pretty good. It's very similar to. I mean, they do some things a little unorganized, but it's very similar to Ohio.
Exactly.
It's a. A lot of the things are very similar because it's like they're both out of Pennsylvania. So like the dental insurance is like the same. The health insurance is a little different. It's like they have a free version and a paid version.
Hmm.
But other than that, it's pretty, the runs are at least from where I'm at, they're pretty much the same. Cause I used to go to Pittsburgh all the time for Pitt, Ohio. And it's like right next to where you get off on the turnpike there.
Right.
And I see you guys drive by all the time. Like if you go to that toll booth there, if you go to Pittsburgh, if you look down to the right, you'll probably see me there in a yard horse because that's usually what I'm doing in the middle of the night. So when I'm up there, so yeah, it's pretty good company so far. And I'm just grateful to have landed back on my feet. So,
yep. As long as the checks don't bounce.
Amen, brother.
Good to go.
That's yeah, right. Yeah, exactly.
So I'm glad. So how long have you been there now?
About 4 months.
Good. Yeah, that's awesome. That's awesome. I'm glad you found a place to be at. You know,
yeah, now great. He can drum up some war drivers for us.
There you go. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, share the show. Exactly. Share the show.
What I'd really like to find for you guys, and I have some friends, I just haven't asked them. I'll ask them next time I talk to them, is some agriculture drivers, because that's a very interesting. Yeah. If you never had those, that's an interesting job.
Very
and it's not for the week, because it's...
Yeah,
it's good.
What's funny to me is that LTL drivers will complain and cry about waiting. You don't know waiting until you've done, like, agriculture, like hopper bottom, or what I did was, like, a belt-driven trailer type of work. It's insane how long you wait at places. I waited 22 hours at a place.
Wow.
Yeah.
Did you get paid for that time?
We get detention time.
Okay.
So, yeah. So, I mean, you get paid, but, like, there's sometimes you're not getting paid because, like, you're, you know, a couple of trucks back, and each truck takes about an hour to unload, and then you're just waiting.
Ugh. Wow.
Yeah.
That's rough.
Yeah, it was a rough summer. Yeah,
for me.
Yeah.
A belt drive trailer. It's getting dumped here
in the truck. Yeah. He's got a big pile of corn there.
And then loading's the same way. Sometimes you're like the one I waited 22 hours at was to load. It's a so they do. I don't really understand what they do with all the stuff that I was hauling, but they do like cotton seed. They like crush the oil out of it or whatever they do with it. And then they have like cottonseed, hauls is what they call it. Okay. And then I delivered it to like a Purina factory and I guess they mix it in. And what I was told, it like helps the cows lactate. I don't really understand it all, but anyway, you deliver that and it takes like an hour every truck and there's like 100 trucks there. So it just takes forever. And then they left for the night and that's why I was stuck there overnight. Cause normally it was about an 8 hour wait, but.
Wow.
Yeah, not my favorite place to go. So
holy Moses.
You're sitting there waiting and everybody says, okay, see you tomorrow. We're going home.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Well, the
that's a lot
the
of
the funny part is they didn't even tell anybody. I was waiting to go to bed or, you know, make a decision and I'm like, we weren't moving up, so I walked up there near to where they load at and I'm like, are we done for the night? And he's like, oh yeah, they went home, and I'm like, well, I wish they would have told me so I could have just went ahead and went to bed.
Wow.
Yeah, it's not for me. I'll stick where I'm at.
How long did you do that for? I'm sorry. Go ahead, Mike.
No, that waiting around, that just it doesn't compute with me. Why would you put up with that?
Unless it pays.
Yeah, if you're paid like
$5,000 a week.
I don't know. I don't want to sit. I just can't. I that's my biggest pet peeve. I don't want to stop. I want to keep moving. Whatever the job is, I want to keep going so I can get done with the day.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I did that for about a month after I got fired. So, in basically February till about, I guess, like July, like maybe like very late July, early August. And that's when I actually left that. And I was actually going to go be a supervisor at XPO, but I had to like wait till like this program opened up because they wouldn't hire me off the street for a supervisor. And then I was there for like a month and then Ward called me. So, it like worked out perfectly. But yeah, it's not for the week. And as far as why you would do that, I would think like, you know, if you're an owner operator and that's your livelihood, it makes it easier. But when you're just a driver working for somebody, it makes it a lot harder.
Right.
Or like, yeah, like, I just want to, and especially like, all I knew for 10 years was LTL. So when you go from LTL, which is especially line haul, drive there, drive back, go home. It's a little different than being out there on the road. I'm already kind of depressed because I'm out there on the road and then just sitting there. Yeah, it was not fun for me.
Yeah, I totally get that. I can imagine that. It's a frustrating situation to be in.
Right, yeah.
So.
But I am very grateful to have gotten that job because multiple companies hired me. Mm-hmm. And then it would go to the next part and then they would be like, oh, sorry, we can't, but you know, reapply after a year or 3 years or whatever. But I guess we should get into why I had an accident on January 19th, almost a year ago tomorrow, actually. It's kind of a perfect time to record this.
Yeah.
So on January 19th, I was coming down, if anybody's familiar with this area, near Kings Island, in Lebanon, Ohio. It goes from two lanes to three lanes, and it was snowing all night long that night. And I'm like 15 minutes from being back. And you're coming down there where it's two lanes and it opens up. And I think all of us have done that in a truck. We're like, especially on two-lane highways, where you're coming up on a truck that's just going a little slower than you want to go. And it's like, do I pass them? But as soon as you go over the left lane, now the left lane's covered. Or it's not, you know. So, but it was coming from two lanes to three lanes. And I saw the car in front of the truck in front of me, like a pickup truck in front of me. The car in front of him got to the left lane, and the pickup truck in front of me kept tapping the brakes, and it was kind of annoying me. So I saw him get over, and I was like, okay, I guess that lane's good. And as soon as I got over, I quickly learned that that was not good. So I felt a little weird, and then I honestly don't know if when I touched the wheel, I made it worse or what happened, because it happened so fast. Mm-hmm. But I was going kind of this way, and then it kind of rocked back, and that's when I jackknifed, and I went off to the right-hand side. But it really wasn't that bad. I mean, it was like, I understand the severity of the situation, but it wasn't like, you know, like, I wasn't hurt. They had the truck back up, like, 3 days later, I heard, and right. I probably could have driven it home, but I cracked the air tank, so okay. I didn't have any air. And then the cop showed up, and he was really, really cool with me, like, the entire time. Right. And then at the very end, he's like, all right, well, here's your ticket. And I'm like, oh, man, like, I wish he didn't cite me. Yeah. I got back that morning. I had to go for a drug test because they had to tow it. Mm-hmm. Wasn't worried about that. And then it happened on a Thursday and the Friday morning. So I was like, Friday morning when that happened. And then they sent me. I already knew I was going to be off that night. And there was, like, a glimmer of hope I would have that I'd keep my job. But, you know, I have anxiety about things anyway, let alone him saying, all right, well, try to get some sleep and you'll hear from us next week. I didn't sleep once that whole weekend, you know, you know, so worried about everything. And then I know, like, when you get in an accident, when you talk to your safety department, they want to hear how you learned, what you're going to do to learn from that mistake. And so I was like, all weekend long, I was like thinking about what I was going to, you know, say to them. I never even had the opportunity. Just a terminal manager called me Monday and said they're considering that a major preventable and let me go. So,
wow.
Then I was home for a month and
bitch.
And then
and you got to
anyway, go ahead, Kyle.
yeah, I was home for a month and then I got that agriculture job driving that hopper bottom. So,
yeah, but I don't know. I don't even know how, like, I don't even know how to, you know,
yeah,
like,
spit the words out so we can understand.
I don't mean to be any, it's like, I mean, it wasn't, you didn't hit anybody else, right?
No, it was just me. Nobody was hurt.
And the tractor wasn't in, you know.
No, I like bent the stair and the fuel tank a little bit and the air tank was cracked. And other than that, like, I asked. Because I still talk to people from Pitt, Ohio, like, every day. Right. And I asked about that, and they're like, no, they had that truck running up, like, by the next week. So, I've gone through so many emotions on this throughout the year.
You deal with it, and you...
I understand it from a company point of view. There's been times where I've been angry. I've been embarrassed. You know, like, it's every emotion you can feel about it, I felt about it. And I get it from, like, if I owned a close to $1 billion company... You got to protect your bottom. I get that. But I also feel like these companies send you out there in the snow, and this isn't just a Pitt, Ohio. And these companies send you out there, and then they ain't going to have your back at the end of the day. Like, or if you mess up, like I said, on Friday I went out, and I'm pretty scared of the snow. That was actually the first time I was out there in the snow since then.
Right.
Without, you know, besides like a dusting. But that was the first time I was out in the snow, and I was like terrified when I first went out there. I start getting more comfortable when I went out there, but I'm just like, these companies, like, you know, because I've gotten lucky to found another job, but a lot of these companies won't touch you. And then something I've wanted to talk about is when I got that ticket from the cop, and the first person I called is my buddy who owned those trucks, because I know he knew all about the stuff because he used to be a manager somewhere and stuff like that. So I'm like, what do I do? He's like, all right, you need to go get a lawyer and fight that. Now, I would encourage anybody who gets a ticket like that to fight it, but something you have to keep in mind if you're like, they got you dead to rights. If you lose that ticket in court, all you do is kick the can of the conviction date down the road. Right. So instead of being 3 years from January, it's 3 years from April when I lost it in court.
Gotcha.
So And I can't believe the, because I, there was actually a Richmond driver that jackknifed like 2 weeks after I did. And he fought it in court, and his lawyer worked it out that if he doesn't mess up again for 6 months, it goes away. But I was, it happens in the wrong county, or you're in the wrong spot.
Right.
You're done. Yeah, there's nothing you can do. Like, some prosecutors, they just won't work with you.
It just seems so, doesn't it? I mean, it just seems so weird that it could be that way. That it should be. It shouldn't be that way.
Right. Well, and I would get it if I was like texting or anything like that. But like it was snowing. Like there was other factors considered. Yeah. And throughout this whole thing, I know truck drivers who have wrecked, and it's, I feel like it's like always somebody else's fault. I've never been like that. It was my fault. I made a bad decision, and I've owned to it the entire time. And I just feel like, but there is, you know, other factors to consider, but I felt like, don't hurt a guy for 3 years because, right. And I told the, when I fought in court, I said, I don't care about the $150 fine. I'll gladly pay it.
Right.
But don't hurt me like this. You know what I mean? So,
yeah, exactly.
And when you get an accident, that's, even though it would help me if it's not on my MVR, mm-hmm. these companies are still going to know everything's somewhere. So,
yeah. Yeah, it's crazy. Yeah, it does suck. It really does. Cause that's one of the things that, you know, it's one of those weird things. And it's one of the things that in my own head, sometimes I wrestle with the whole thought of it because we are regulated by the federal government, but every state does its own thing.
Right.
So what is it? Are we regulated by the Federal Motor Carrier Association and by the FMCSA, the rules and regulations, or is it every state does what it wants to do? See, that's where these things break down for me. Like it should be something that is, and forgive me if I'm wrong. Forgive me if, you know, if anybody else thinks that I'm wrong on this. I just look at it like this is something that we, because we're regulated by the federal government, should be uniform everywhere.
Yeah.
I can agree with that a little bit.
Yeah. I mean, this is not like we're not regulated by the federal government. We are.
But the problem with that is they're, excuse me.
Because we're commerce.
Well, but all right. I see your point, but the reason why they don't do it and they leave it up to the states is literally this country is so large.
Oh yeah. I get that.
California is totally different than New York. Washington is totally different than Florida. There's different.
Right.
And different I environments.
Get that too. You're right.
They're like these idiots from down south, they come up here and they see a snow flurry. They're the first ones to wreck because they never saw snow before.
Right.
Yeah. And it's just, I can see every side of it.
Sure.
And exactly. I don't know what the answer is. I don't know what the answer is, but it would be nice if everything was uniform. Everybody knew where they stood.
So you know. Right. So you knew.
It's easy for like other countries. Well, why can't we be more like this country?
Because their countries are the size of a state.
You're right.
So it's like this country is just too large to have all the same rules in every state.
Yeah, that's true.
The basics should be there, but yeah, as far as like driving, like the where you had your accident was, you know, near Cincinnati. So those cops, they know. All right, this is winter driving, but I don't even know what I'm trying to say here. But it's like a cop in Florida wouldn't understand
it, right?
You know, or they wouldn't understand that the slippery road conditions down there are different.
It makes sense. And I don't disagree with it. It just seems like for something that is so regulated by the federal government that we actually have states that are able to do whatever they want to do.
And that there's such a truck driver shortage.
Yeah.
And they want to, you know, like you said, hang it on you for 3 years and not allow you to, you know,
to expunge your record.
Yeah. Cause like you said, that pretty much will prevent anybody from hiring.
Right.
You know, for 3 years, if that's on your record, they're going to say, no, I don't want to touch them. You know,
well, their insurance company will tell them, no, you don't want to touch.
Yeah.
Them.
And you know, that's probably what most of it is.
Right.
It's not the company. They might interview and
because
think, hey,
they
this
need
guy's
the driver,
great. But
right.
their insurance company will say, no way.
Yeah. Anyway,
that's what happened to me. I got hired twice and the terminal managers were like, oh, yeah, yeah, we'll put it through. And, you know, we'd love to have you. And then, sorry, man. And it was like, no ill will or anything. I can reapply. It's just they basically told me can't touch you until this, you know.
Right.
One company told me a year and another company, I didn't have an interview or anything, but I talked to the manager at Dayton Freight and I just was straight up with him on everything that happened. And he was like, yeah, man, I'm sorry. I can't, let me look it up. And he like looked it up in his handbook or something. He said, yeah, I can't touch you for 3 years.
Wow.
So, and that, cause that's like kind of my ultimate goal. Cause I've never heard anything bad about them, but I'm still, like I said, I've gotten lucky to have landed back in LTO where I'm at. So,
because the worst case scenario is you end up working for these piece of shit companies.
Right. Right.
So you can get your status back that you
till your record
3 years
clear.
Clean, yep. And you're good to go.
It's almost like you're starting over. You got years of experience to make sure you're not going to screw up a truck again, I guess is what they're looking
for. Yeah, and it's just a shame. It just is. And that's the stuff that you look at, and it's like, you know, whatever, anyway. I know you've walked through it and worked through it all in your for yourself. To bring you back to this point, and then I'm totally 100% with you. I mean, I'm so glad that you're back. I'm glad you're with a decent company. That's really important. You know, that's the kind of stuff you know you don't want drivers having to walk through some of this stuff and redo like their first steps. I mean, you've been driving for 10 years. You know, it's not like, you know, you haven't put your time in and worked for these, you know, the bottom companies, and it, you know, don't get me wrong, they're all there for a reason. They're there because they're the catch-all. They're where everybody starts from, and we're all kind of getting into that, and we're getting back to that point, you know, where it's like, okay, we all got to put our time in,
right.
You know?
Right, yeah.
I spent 3 years at Johnson Motor Lines down in Easton making $10.50 an hour to get my driving experience. It's just the way it was, you know, 31 years ago. That's what you did. Yeah, that's what we had to do. You know, a lot of guys.
$10.50
Yeah, $10.50 an hour. You know, overtime after 50. Yeah, and I thought I was the greatest thing since sliced bread. You know, because I had my CDL and said I was a cool dude. But anyway, you know, but you work for those places. You work for the over the road carriers to get your experience, and that's why a lot of people are looking once they get their 6 months or whatever in with one of these road carriers. They're looking for LTL work. They're looking for something that gets them home. Because most drivers don't want to be away from home for days at a time or months or weeks or whatever. It's just a reality. And there are some guys that really love being out there. And more power to them. I'm glad. Like Mike Hawes. Mike Hawes loves doing what he does. You know, he's out there. He's, you know, doing flatbed.
Mike Hawes, that's Toot Mike.
Toot Mike, yep. He loves being out there. He enjoys doing it. He enjoys – and I'm so appreciative of guys like Mike because he's out there doing a job that – it just is not, it's not in the cards for me. I just don't, you know, it's not up my alley. I like being home every day. Not that Mike, I'm sure he'd like to be home every day, but I think he loves what he does.
Yeah,
just
he really seems way too happy.
Yeah.
Out on the road. I don't think he'd like being, I don't think it would work for him.
And he loves doing different stuff. Like he loves the heavy haul that he's doing stuff, you know, now and all. It's just interesting, you know? And so anyway, I said all of that to say I'm glad that you're back and you're in a solid company that's local.
Circle back, Peckman, yeah, Patty.
And you're home. And you're home every day, right?
Yep. It's literally the same thing I used to do. The only thing difference is I used to work the dock every night before I left, and now I don't ever work the dock at Cincinnati, but I might work the dock at another terminal in the middle of the night. But
gotcha.
It pays the same, and I'm
good.
Same schedule. So
yeah, that's
yeah. I'm happy.
The only thing that changed is the color of the tractor.
Yeah, that's it. Pretty much.
Pretty much. Yep.
So how's everything else been going for you then? And any crazy experiences or anything like that? You know, out on the road and it's like always one of those questions that you ask. And go ahead.
Well, that. I was driving that belt driven trailer, and those things are actually pretty cool. I never even thought about I see them all the time now that I'm looking for them. But back before I ever did, you don't realize what you're looking at until you deal with that kind of trucking. But it's pretty cool because it's got, you know, it's hydraulic driven, and but I did have some nightmares out there in that truck. Like one day I hauled green beans, and so you go. Like, I met this guy at a Waffle House, and he, drove me, I followed him in his truck to his farm, and it was, at, 2:30 in the morning, and I was so tired, and he's like, all right, well, you can go to bed, it's going to be a while, and I said, all right, just put about 48,000 in me. I said, that should keep me legal, and he said, all right, and I was delivering it down to Tennessee, and I woke up, and my gauge was at 63, so it looked good, but I didn't scale out or anything, there's no scale there. And I get down to Pick Suite down in Tennessee where I'm delivering it to, and I was at 94,000.
Wow.
Gross. And So I've been having this problem with that truck, and we could not figure out what it was, where the lighter products would come out just fine, but when I was delivering that cotton haul I was telling you guys, it was struggling to get out. So I get down there with those green beans, and it just did not want to come out, and it kept getting stuck. So I had to get up there with this big metal brake and hit it down, and it took 8 hours, and that I'm not in shape. That was a workout up there doing that for like 8 hours.
That's not for us.
That's not for us.
Yeah, because it would go off my conveyor belt onto like their little wooden conveyor belt up, and then it would go to like 8 different washing machines. It was pretty cool to look at.
Right.
But it was hot. I was sweating, and you know, it was just a nightmare. And then I finally figured it out. What had happened was, well, a mechanic figured it out, not me, because I don't know anything about that kind of stuff. But they split the tank between the diesel and the hydraulic, and I guess it like cracked at one point. So they were like leaking back and forth with each other. So I didn't have enough hydraulic to run that system smoothly. That's what was going on. Because they could not find anything, and they were like, "No, there's nothing wrong with this." I'm like, "I'm telling you, there's something wrong. I'm not delivering it right." And then at the very last minute, they were like, "Yep, we found it." So, but luckily, it didn't damage the truck or anything. Because if it's leaking one way, it's leaking back the other way.
Right.
You would think that would hurt something. So, but didn't hurt that. And so that same owner operator I work for, or used to work for, he also owns this truck. It's an end dump trailer. So I got some. The good thing out of this is I got to experience other kinds of trucking that I never would be in. But he also owns some end dump trailers, which are pretty cool, but they intimidate me because those things go up like, I don't even know how high they go, like 50 feet. But when you deliver, they have like a big brewery up here, like the Miller Molson Coors Brewery, and you pick up spent grain that they use, and it comes out real wet, and you deliver that to all these dairy farms that are around here, sometimes in the middle of the night, sometimes during the day. But that's pretty cool to deliver to like these dairy farms, and then you know, put that end dump there. I actually like running that end dump trailer. It's pretty fun. But the hardest part of that job is actually loading, because they got this like digital clock up there that says how much is in the tank. It might say like 250,000 pounds of material in there.
Right.
And then as soon as you turn it on, the numbers jump up, and they're like adding to it while you're loading, and they won't let you leave above 82,000. So if you accidentally overload, you know, I try to put about 47,000 in there, 48,000. If you accidentally overload, they make you take it out with a shovel. So you got to open up this little back door and shovel it into the next truck. Now, if you overload big time, I believe they let you dump it on the ground, and they believe like a backhoe over or something. But I've luckily never overloaded, but I was there when a guy overloaded, and he was like 600 pounds over, and we had to open up my front door and his little back door and shovel it into my truck.
Wow. So, one shovel at a time. That's a lot.
Yeah, one shovel. Yeah, that's what I was like. You don't want to overload if you're there, because it's bad news.
Wow.
There was one guy that I this is way before I ever did that job, but I saw a picture of it when I first started there, because my boss / friend sent it to me. He's like, "Don't do this." And somebody turned that on and went down to the bathroom or something, because like when you do that, like 47,000 pounds, it's only like a couple of feet up, you know, like it's not a whole lot. That stuff's pretty heavy. Well, he loaded that whole trailer up, and it was like leaking over the sides, and they were there all day cleaning that up.
Wow. Now, I imagine that goes to the farms for feed.
Yeah. So like, I don't really understand. Like I don't work the farms. I don't really know about a lot of the stuff I was hauling, but they like mix it in with other stuff there. But I think it's like, I know the cows eat it, because actually kind of a funny story. I was at this farm one time, and the Peterbilt he had was broke down for like 2 months.
Uh-huh.
And so I was having to drive one of those big Freightliner Classics, 18 speed.
Yeah.
And I should not have been at this farm in this Freightliner Classic 18 speed, because it's a big truck. And so I had to like, kind of like pull up and kind of blindside around this red barn back into this like you know, where they have like the concrete pillars up, where you like the storage bin where you put it in.
Yeah.
And there's cows like right there, because some of them are like multi-million dollar farms that you go to, and some of them are just like a guy's house who has like 20 cows. I don't understand how much money's in that, but it's got to pay something, because nobody would do it. But anyway, I was at this guy's house, and it was a tough one to back into.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was kind of like, and I was in that big truck, so I was kind of like paranoid about hitting the roof that was right there next to me. But there's cows are right there, so I'm like dumping it in the bin, and I kind of like get to the end of the bin, and I kind of just let it pile up right there at the end. Well, the cows are right there, and I have that thing all the way up, and I see the cows in my mirror getting them a snack, you know, while I'm delivering. And I try to like stop them, like, "Hey, stop." They didn't listen to me at all. They just kept eating.
Kyle's like, "Move."
I'm wondering with that, I wonder if the farmer pays for that or if the brewery is happy to get rid of it.
I think it's a mixture. I think it's a mixture of both, because I know like they're paying, depending on how far you go. Like I do a lot of like 60-mile deliveries, and I think that pays like $15 a ton or something like that. I don't remember all the specific. I don't know all the specific numbers. He would just tell me sometimes, but I think it depends on that. And like I said, if you're delivering to a guy's house and you're delivering 23 tons at $14 a pot, I mean, that's got to add up, you know, just for, that's just a delivery. I don't know what the product would cost, but I think they pay for it. But sometimes when they have so much in there, it's just like, yeah, just get rid of it. You know, we need it gone because there's only so much storage bin in there. But sometimes you go in there and there's like 500,000 pounds of product, and sometimes you got to sit there and wait because there's, you know, 47,000 in the bin you fill, and then a truck pulls in right behind you. So he's got to wait for them to fill it back up, which takes about an hour. Okay. But so it just depends. But I think it's a mixture of both on that.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
It's just a fascinating thing. I mean, it's the stuff that we do and the stuff that gets hauled and the reasons. You know, like,
the byproduct of stuff that they actually use somewhere else is amazing. Right? You get down really YouTube loops with that.
Yeah.
You know, this company makes this, like coming out of Hershey. You know, all the stuff that they use to make chocolate. Yeah, there's byproducts that take the surrounding farms.
And
it's like a circle thing. You know, the circle
of life.
Yeah, because like the Hershey will have a byproduct that they take the farms to feed the cows where they get the milk to make the chocolate.
Well, that's how they make chocolate milk.
Those are the brown cows. And then they have the cows, then they feed the pigs, and then they feed the chickens.
That's how you get brown eggs.
Right. Chocolate milk comes from that brown cow.
Yeah. You know, we're a bunch of old dads. What can I tell you?
But no. Yeah, there is a lot of byproduct, though, because I know, like, they use, like the hopper bottom does, like, a lot of, like, they call it, like, meal. And, like, there's, like, I'm trying to think of all the different ones they had, like cottonseed meal or this kind of, like, meal. But basically, like, so, like, when they make, like, dog food, I only know, like, a little bit about this, so I might be a little wrong about this. But I know, like, they use, like, when Tyson, because I deliver to a lot of Tysons, you know, like, they make the chicken, and then when they have, like, the bones and stuff, they make that into some kind of, like, chicken meal, and then they deliver that to, like, Purina's, and that's what they make, like, dog food out of, is, like, the chicken bones, and, like, the chicken product is, like, bones, so...
Yeah, if you look at dog food, like a cheaper brand, it'll always start out with like chicken
byproduct,
beef meal.
Yep.
If that, you know, the better stuff, it starts out with chicken and, you know, no meal behind it.
Right.
You buy the cheap stuff, that's what they do. They grind up lips, hooves, bones, everything goes into there and it comes out. It's like a wet powder. And then they just mix that in with some real chicken so it kind of tastes like it. There you go. Dog food.
Meal.
Yeah.
Dogs and cats. I'm hungry.
Yeah. I know, right?
Go on over to Exit 3 and get your meal.
And you wonder what your chicken McNuggets are made of. Right.
Pink goop is what they're made of.
Did I say that out loud?
Yeah.
Are we allowed to? I imagine.
That's all right. So
I don't think anybody from McDonald's is
your
listening.
Chicken nuggets, your chicken wings, they're all the same thing.
If you're going there, you're not looking for a health food. You know what I mean? Like, it's not like we're, you know, I don't think we're telling any stories out of school here. You know, I think I read an article.
You can eat anything
like,
at McDonald's you want, but get a Diet Coke, you're fine.
Well, I'm trying to remember like how much of a chicken nugget is actually chicken meat. I don't remember. It's like it's not 100%.
And the sad thing is, if it isn't 100%, what's
right? What is it? Yeah, that's the question.
What
anyway.
Part of the chicken is the nugget?
Yeah, that's it's crazy. You know, it's just strange, but that's interesting because at least they're using, you know, the byproduct, like from making beer, you know, they're taking the grains and everything and feeding them to the cows. So we get, you know,
well, fluoride was a byproduct of some kind of, I forget what it was thrown out because it's considered hazardous. Now they put it in water. Well, we don't know what to do with it.
And your toothpaste.
I know. We'll put it in the water. Yeah. We think it might make your teeth better, but we don't know.
But it's not, what does it say? You know, did you ever read the side of your toothpaste tube?
Yeah, when I'm sitting on the crap, I need something to read.
It actually says that if you swallow this, you're supposed to call the poison control company. It literally says it on your toothpaste. Are you there, Kyle? Yeah. There you go. Yep.
Can you hear me? We're back.
When I saw it said it says I'm here. but there we go. You're good.
The first time my phone died because I wasn't paying attention to it, and then I plugged it in.
Gotcha.
And then the cable I was using, I guess, wasn't very good. So now I'm using a different cable. We're good. Sorry about all that. I feel good. Sorry, Jack. You got to edit like that.
No worries, Daddy. I got our timestamp marked down. Yeah, the guy will edit it. We'll just compress it right together. You know, we pay them the millions of dollars that we pay them for.
That's where they can put the commercial in with no problem.
Right there. We'll put the commercial right there. That works. Don't worry about it, brother. It's all good. So anyway, we're talking about this byproduct stuff that they have coming out of these different places. We're just kind of chit-chatting about that. It's fascinating, you know, that they actually take stuff that's a byproduct and make it into something that's useful. And that's a good thing.
Yeah, like underarm deodorant.
Even if it does become, you know, cow flatulence, you know, which is adding to global warming, according to
the powers that be. Yeah, the bartender.
Anyway.
It's amazing about all the different kinds of stuff that are out there that you don't think about at all.
Yeah, it's true.
What?
What are you talking about? The bartender?
Yeah, I know who he means. She was a bartender from New York.
Oh. I knew exactly who he meant, but
we'd like to hear from the bartender from New York.
My brain a little bit of time to catch up on that one. And I'm well rested.
Holy crap. Guys out in California got it already, and you're like, it's just circling back.
Well, that's with the byproduct thing. That's even going back to that with gasoline and diesel. At one point, they were making, was it diesel first and then they threw out the gasoline? Or was it the other way? Or kerosene?
Kerosene.
Yeah. And the gasoline was the byproduct. They threw it in the river.
Right.
Healthy.
Yeah. Help the rivers. Michigan, why they have bad water.
I don't know, Kyle. You know, this. Anyway.
Don't worry. We're cleaning that up.
We will be. Anyway.
Clean up on aisle 5.
And 6. And 7. Back to Kyle. So, what else have you been, like, since then? And you were, how did that pay? Did that pay you hourly? Did that pay you by the ton? How did that, when you were doing the agricultural hauling, I was curious about that.
I got paid by, like, the gross of the truck.
Okay.
So, some weeks I would have, like, a great week, like, better than any check I've had at Pitt, Ohio, and another check, other weeks, you know, truck's down for 2 days, you don't make a whole lot. So,
hence the reason sometimes the trailer's at, you know, they're at 91,000. Man, yeah. I could take that.
There are no scale houses between here and there.
We're making up for lost time.
Here, let me get that white out on this paper. We'll be fine.
Just take out one of the zeros in the way. You're good.
They'll never know.
Yeah. No, I really didn't want 94,000, but I got it. So.
Yeah, that's.
More technical difficulty.
No, it was just
he's getting a phone call. How dare me? I get a text message.
I was like, what in the world? My phone is muted, so nothing can, you know, but it just because it knocked out our camera on our side. Now it's back up.
Well, why would it do that?
I have no idea.
Because it's probably the computer and the phone are hooked together, so it'll probably pop up there.
It's an eye thingy.
Well, Apple thingy.
It's actually. An Apple thingy. Yeah, see, that's why you should have vegetables on your computer.
That's fruits.
Same thing.
I use the iCarrot.
Apparently, vegetables and fruits are the same to shipper. Fruits and veggies. You know, it's all plants. And he doesn't believe in plants.
Oh, yeah.
Do you?
But, yeah.
I'll take the weed any day.
We hit a wall.
I knew that was coming, man.
Smoke it if you got it. So, yeah.
Go ahead, Kyle.
I think that's why I keep getting popped for a DOT random. I really do.
It's so random.
Because these people are saying this guy can't be normal.
Some of the crap that comes out of this guy's mouth, he's got to be high.
That stuff should calm you down. So it ain't that stuff that because it doesn't calm you down. Back to Kyle.
I was just going to say another, like, it was cool. One of the other kind of cool parts, was being in a place in a truck that I never would have been. So it was cool to be like, I hit so many states this summer. I mean, I was really in the Midwest, but I've been to, you know, Arkansas, Mississippi. I went to Florida in a truck. That was interesting. There's a lot of regulation down in Florida in trucking.
Yeah.
You come into Florida in a truck and I don't know, maybe about 3 to 4 miles in, there's one scale house, and a mile later, there's an
agricultural stuff.
Yeah, agriculture. Yep. So you got to hit both of them. Yeah. And And then there's cops everywhere. So I was a little nervous down there, just like, you know, waiting to get pulled over for something.
Well, there is no tax down there, so they got to make their money somehow.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah. But I mean, it was awesome to be down there because, like, one of the things I hauled out of Florida is the big Tropicana down there. And I also went to, like, the port of Tampa separately. Mm-hmm. And but I picked up the same product. It was the shavings from, like, the fruits that they use, the citrus fruits. And I delivered that to the Purina, too. And they mixed that in with stuff, I guess, to give it the flavor or something. Right. But it was cool to be down there. But, like, I would go to Valdosta, Georgia all the time, which is right on the Florida line.
Uh-huh.
Tennessee. I went to New York once.
Oh.
That was actually, like, the first place. And I learned something interesting in New York.
you learn a lot.
So I want to, like, upstate New York. Yeah. I went to upstate New York, so it wasn't that bad. But
good.
A kind of a trick when you're hauling for weight is to, like, load with less fuel so you can get more weight, you know?
Right.
And so I was trying to do that, and I was on, like, the main stretch of highway there. I don't remember which highway it was on before I got off there, and I was in, I think it's Albany I was in. And but 87. I learned that, yeah, when you get off the highway there, you ain't going to find another truck stop when you get to upstate New York. So no. I was running on fumes, and I had no idea where I was. I was trying to find it, and the GPS took me out of there where I ended up in somewhere in Pennsylvania, and I ended up out there by that big Petro there in Scranton. And I finally was able to get fuel there in Scranton, but it was that little Mack thing, because I drove a Mack there too.
Right.
It's 6 miles when I got to that Petro.
Enough time to go through the parking lot, pull up to the island, and hit the brake.
Turn it off.
Yes, and turn it off.
Yeah. Yeah, I was definitely nervous. So if you're ever in upstate New York, get fuel when you see it.
Grab it when you can.
You know, you always go up from state New York to the nice and easy.
Where's that at?
They're all over. It's a convenience store. That's all over the place. Yeah.
I should look around more.
Yeah.
Probably be a good idea.
Nice and easy. That's a good name for a convenience store.
It's up there in the Tug Hill Plateaus, you know. You know, snowmobiles go through there, everything.
You know, there's one out in like Colorado called the
Nice and Sleazy
Come and Go.
All right.
That's the name of the gas station and the convenience store. The Come and Go.
How exciting is
you got the come and then you go.
But here's the question. Is there also the Philly Corral nearby it?
Philly Corral.
If you ever to Somerset, you know what I mean.
Yes.
Yes. Bring your dollars.
But I got Bitcoin.
They bring might take that by now. Bring your app up here.
Oh,
never mind, Kyle. Hey, Kyle, hey, nice seeing you again.
It is crazy. You know, this show just takes so many left and right turns. It's like there's no way we're making a straight line on this. This is not 87. We're not going straight up.
No, we're getting off exits. Don't know where we are. Driving around, yep, come back.
Looking for fuel. But no, it is really it's an interesting point to make, because I never really noticed it, because, you know, we drive.
We get fuel at the terminals. We don't worry about it.
We just fuel up. Yeah, we don't even, you know.
Yeah.
Some of you use fuel up. I don't.
the terminal runs out of fuel.
If I only went 90 miles, I wouldn't either.
Yeah. Sure. You know, when I come back and I got 38 miles, it says, and I need to go 42.
Okay.
I'm good.
Some of it's downhill.
Yeah. Yeah, and believe me, I'm looking at that. Okay, we're up to 70. We got it now. We just gained 4 more miles. But it's that big pull up summit lawn you got to worry about.
Yeah, it's at the very end of your night. That's it. So anyway, it's an interesting, you know, it really is an interesting point. Those are things like we take for granted, you know, doing what we do, even with, you know, with doing what you do with Ward and all that. You take it for granted. You know, you've got fuel at the terminal, but when you're out there and you have to actually look for it and know where something's at, you know, other than if you know there's a pilot here or, you know, the TA or whatever, Flying J, you know, but when you get into some areas, you know, there's nothing. It's like a dearth.
Yeah.
You know,
nothing. And trying to find a place to park at night is impossible. Yeah, yeah. Like if you don't stop at a certain time, you ain't finding one.
Yeah. You're going to be parking on the ramp.
be one of those trucks on the ramp. I've had to do that, unfortunately. I don't park real far out on the ramp, but and I really didn't like doing that because I always feel like when you do that, you're like you're just waiting for a knock at the door, like, or if somebody runs into the back and you're on the ramp, your fault, even if it's not. But sometimes, I mean, you got to stop. You're tired and got to do what you got to do. So
or you're out of time. You know,
right.
You know, you're out of time. You're out of time.
Yeah, you can't stretch it anymore like the paper logs. Well, no, you just go a little far.
I took a break. You know, you stretch.
Yeah,
computers don't lie. Well, they do, but you know,
can't. They don't. Nah, they lie, but not to help you out.
No, exactly. But you know, it's fascinating. It is because that's a whole different part of the industry that I've never, you know, until talking to you. And we talked to Emilio out there in California.
In Cali, probably had a couple other,
you know, but it's just one of those things that you don't think about because it's not part of our repertoire, or it's not in our wheelhouse of that, you know.
Mm-hmm. It's like big words.
I know, big words.
It's not in our gearbox.
There you go.
And you know what's funny is those guys that do that love it, because I was talking to a friend of mine, and he was, we were just chatting it up one day, and I was like, yeah, I was like, I'm trying to get back into freight. I was like, this isn't just for me. He's like, well, I can't imagine doing anything. Like, this is all I want to do. I'm like, you like this weight and stuff? He goes, yeah. So those guys that like it, love it.
Yeah.
Right.
But when you know something else, I guess it's a little bit like when you, you know, that's all you know. Like that. That's like I said, I got my CDL through a bit of a while. That's all you know. And then you go out there and it's something different. That's a little better in some things, but a little worse on others. It's like,
So. It's like livestock drivers, you know. Their freight walks now on, and walks off, and then they become transit workers. Their freight still walks on.
Now that's the type of trucking I couldn't do. I couldn't do livestock hauling. I like meat. I'm just too sensitive for that job. I couldn't do that myself. But
yeah.
Well, what turned me off of that is when I actually made deliveries, and we were just talking about before a company out here called Mopac. And they do processing, meat processing and stuff. And the smells that used to come out of there and what I saw the front end loaders bring out and dump into the big dumpster. I was like, no, I could never work here. I could never.
What you saw the front end loaders bringing out was going to be turned into meal.
Yeah, pretty much.
Well, did you ever see the big blood marks on the highway there on 309 coming down to the traffic light off of
78. Oh, yeah, that
was Mopac coming down, and the light changed, and he hit the brakes.
Slop shift forward, right up over the
top. Yeah. Well,
they were a little too full.
They certainly were.
At that moment, that's where the state troopers were, or the state cops would come in with deer that they picked up off the highway. Right.
Yeah.
They'd bring in, throw it in the dumpster with all the stuff coming out of Mopac.
Wow. Because
I seen that, because I delivered there when I was running Bucks County in the city for Pitt. You know, I used to go in there just about every day. They would buy, I don't know what I was even delivering, but I had to wait there for a while.
Right.
And I see the cops come in with 2-3 deer on the back of their car, those big things on the hitch. Throw them in there with the rest, the front end loaders. And they were big front end loaders with like a hoof hanging out. And it's like, just dummy. You just hear the wet meat as it hits in the dumpster. I was like, oh.
Yeah.
Well, I can appreciate that, Kyle. The you know, you like meat, but you know.
Yeah, somebody's got to do that job. Hats off to those drivers. I just I couldn't do it.
You like meat at 180 degrees, medium well.
You
don't want to meet your meat first while it's alive.
But that's all right. I don't either. I'm not a hunter or nothing like that. I'm totally down when anybody wants to go. I think it's great. You hunt and you know, you like to. That's fantastic. I just not my thing. So
you're a hunter with your truck enough.
Exactly. One time I was driving through Cutting the Hill in Cincinnati. So we were in Northern Kentucky and you're coming down that big hill right where Cincinnati is. And there was a livestock caller next to me with about 10,000 baby pigs on it. And I think all 10,000 were making eye contact with me saying, help me, help me.
Making you feel guilty for the bacon that you ate this morning.
Yeah.
That'll do, pig. That'll do. Just don't look at them.
Yep, that's right. Just don't look them in the eye.
You roll past them as you're eating your BLT. Put that down.
It's like a Far Side cartoon, you know?
Might be a friend that he knew.
That's my daddy.
It is. Well, you know, it's just crazy. I mean, all these different types of haulers that we've talked to and different stuff that is out there. I mean, this industry is so, it's chock full of, of different types of haulers and drivers, and when and everybody seems to, you know, they find their niche, and then that's where they seem to, you know, that's where they gravitate to. Well, there's nothing wrong with that.
Like you said before, that's just all they know.
It's what
I'm like Kyle. I got my license through Pitt, Ohio, too, 20 some years ago. You know, I don't know how to do like the over the road stuff.
Right.
That I just doesn't compute with me why you would even want to do that. But they're like you say, but guys love it.
Yeah.
I don't understand.
Some guys don't know any better. I'm part of a bunch of like Facebook groups of truck drivers, and I see guys all the time. Local don't pay. Local don't pay. And it's like you just don't know what you're looking for.
Yeah. Yeah. You have no idea. Yeah, exactly.
Even if it pays a little less, you can't put a price on being at your house that you paid for.
Right.
You know, you pay a mortgage. This is your home.
To live at.
I want to be here. I don't want to pay a mortgage. And my wife and kids get to live there, but I want to be there too.
Yeah, that's true. I totally get
somebody. Somebody said to me that it was in my head, but I didn't come up with these words myself, but when he said it, I'm like, that is so true. When you're over the road, every week you leave is harder the week than the week before. And it was just like, you come home for a day and a half, you do laundry, you spend a little time with the people you want to spend time with, and it's like, oh, I'm leaving again. And it's just like, every week is just harder and harder. And then if you got anything going on, you're not home to take care of it. And it's just like,
yeah,
you know, exactly. Not, you know, hats off to the people that love doing that. And if it's between that and going homeless, I'm going on the road, but
100%.
Yeah, it's not.
Yep.
It's good not if for you're me. Young and you don't have you don't have a house. You don't have a home base yet.
You don't have any commitments.
No. Yeah. Then go make your money. See the country if that's what you want to do.
But the crazy thing, and the only way you really, I mean, I don't know. You ever read the ads for over the road drivers?
Well, I mean, it's not very, especially like the mega carriers. It's like,
45 to 50,000 a year. Yeah. You're like, that's and you're not even home.
Even like the mileage and stuff, like what they're paying you. Yeah, I get it. They're going to probably get way more miles than what I do working line haul. But
you're not seeing it.
You still can only drive 500-600 miles a day. So
It's like,
and that's the point.
But everybody's got to start somewhere.
That's what I get. Everybody's
people are still
somewhere.
Doing it 30 years into their career. I love it.
They love it. And my hat's off to them. Like Kyle said, I mean, 100%. I think it's great. Even these agricultural haulers who are, you know, they go there and 1 week they're making, you know, bank, and 1 week they're making, you know, change. You know, it's crazy, but that's the industry.
Right.
You know, I mean, sometimes we're busy, sometimes we're not. I mean, you know.
But even when we're slow, you're still steady paycheck.
Right.
Where it's like, one week I made $2,000, the next week I made $50. Oh, you know, how do you?
I mean, basically it could be.
That's not a commercial.
You
know,
you got your load, you dropped it off. Now you're at a truck stop 4 days waiting for a load to get out of there.
Yeah.
You
know? Yeah. Exactly.
And then you decide to make the commitment. Well, maybe I go down the road 400 miles. I could get something down that way.
And you're driving for free. As you're an owner operator, you got to put all that fuel in the truck to go that 400 miles.
Exactly. Yeah.
Exactly. But it's different strokes for different folks.
Yep.
I mean, what's the woman's name that had her kids
Megan.
In it? Megan.
Yeah.
You know, and she did it. She made it work. And she loves it.
Yeah. And she still has her one kid with her on the road. You know? And it's like, I don't know.
Listening to her, I don't know how that she made that work.
No. And there was another lady on before her who did the same thing with, you know, her little kid. And it's like, it's just, you know, God bless you for doing it. I mean, if you can handle it and you want to, that's fantastic.
Exactly.
And then, you know, of course, you know, you get to these points where, like, you know, you get old guys like, you know, Shipper.
Yeah. I just want to go 90 miles at a time, get my paperwork done and go back. Thank you.
You know what he told me? He said he would love to go on the road and team with his wife. That's what he said.
FPO.
Hell no.
Yeah. XPO Shipper, they're hired.
No.
There you go. You team with your wife.
XPO, not a chance in hell, because those back pops end up for just rolling on their own,
disconnecting.
Yeah, they disconnect and just flop over on their own. There, they don't have that down yet.
Shipper's the new version of Fast and Furious. Yeah. I live my life 90 miles at a time.
Yeah. Damn straight.
Yeah, that's not 90 miles an hour. That's 90 miles.
One world to the other world. I could write a book. I could write a book.
Yeah.
Well, that's what you do when you retire. Write a book and tell us all how it's done.
How you did the NASCAR drop and hook.
How I did trucking for 40 years.
Believe me. That would be a thought.
A book.
Yeah.
And then we could have you on as an author.
Yeah. I author not to.
An expert in the industry.
Just make it an audio book. No, you know what? But you don't read it because you're going to.
I don't read. I'm waiting for the audiobook. Right. I'm waiting for the movie.
Can you imagine Shiver doing an audiobook?
They did
the
make
colorful
it.
Language. I can't effing read this. I wrote it. And I That's not how I describe Chinese food.
Right. I saw my buddy.
Back to Kyle. These poor guys sitting here.
Oh, I'm just listening.
I'm telling you.
Somebody's got to send you a bingo card, and you'd understand totally.
Some of the things that this guy has said over the years. In fact, we just, like I said to you earlier, we just had one where the producer said, I've never even heard that before.
Yeah. He was only like 30-ish.
My wife watches the YouTube, and I got to come home from work, and she's like, all right, I have some questions. What did he mean when he said this? Okay, well,
I don't really know. I'm only here 6 months.
I just smiled and shook my head. I didn't understand him either, honey.
Are you sure you want to know? Don't be offended.
Give her my number. I got time. I'll talk to her.
He's only going 90 miles. Oh, my word. So anyway, Kyle, so what other things, like, was there anything else that you did while you were in your limbo stage? And even before that, you were with Pitt the whole time up until, you know, a year ago, right?
Yeah, that was the hardest part is, like, basically my entire 20s. I started there right when I was, like, about to turn 21. Uh-huh. And then I was 29. So my entire 20s was just spent there.
Wow.
60 hours a week, and then it's just gone one day. So that's part of one of the hardest things to deal with when you're just, like, basically all my friends were from, I mean, I still talk to those guys all the time, but a lot, you know, it's kind of funny when you get a different job at different points in my life, this has happened, but for a job that has been that part of that big part of my life, you know, I'm 30 now. So that was like one third of my life there.
He's downhill.
Yeah. So when it is like one third of my life there and it's just gone. And then, but it's funny that there's people you talk to every day. All day, and you didn't even have good conversations, deep conversations, and you think, I mean, not that there's anything wrong, but once you stop working together, they just kind of drift away.
To
be honest with you, I'm that kind of person. I really am. I feel terrible. That's what I said to my wife so many times. You know, I feel so bad. I mean, like, you know, people I used to work with at Johnson Motor Lines or wherever, and you just kind of lose touch. And it's not that you intentionally do that, you know what I mean? Like it just kind of happens. Now I've been at Pitt for a long time, and I've made, you know, some, you know, pretty
right. You know, if you go by my rule, you only have X number of people friend that you might call a friend. You know, then you got to kick the others of the curb.
Oh, I found a new guy. He's really cool. Yeah. Well, got to get rid of one of the old ones.
Learning new things, you got to push some stuff out of your head to make room for
new
stuff.
You got to clear out the data bank.
Yeah, you do every now.
But
and
don't
then.
Worry, Kyle. Look, you just spent a decade at Pitt. You have another 40 years to go before you that actually word. Hang up your keys. So, yeah.
Right. I said, I'll be fine long term. Like, it was like, at most, it's 3 years. I mean, some companies look back far in that, but I think they would still mess with you after three, especially like it depends how busy freight is. Like,
sure.
Some companies won't even give you a line of what they hire because they know if we're that desperate, we might lower that line or if we might up that line, you know. If we're, you know, we basically need to lay guys off or whatever it is. Cause like, if you mess up during slow season, it might help, you know, to get you out of there.
Yeah.
But, another thing I did, and I mentioned before, when I was over the road, I was just like, it was kind of causing me problems in my personal life. Mm-hmm. I didn't like it either. And I was just like, I was just trying to get back into LTL and I've always thought I'd make a good supervisor because maybe it's a problem inside me, but I care, you know? So I always thought I'd be good at that because most supervisors, I mean, don't care. But so I applied, and I had a really good interview actually with XPO to be an outbound supervisor, and they're like, well, we don't want to hire you off the street, but we have this program. And I was like, yeah, I'll do that. So I got a dock job at XPO for way less money, but you got to do what you got to do just for my sanity. Right. And I was, like I said, I was there for about a month, less than that. I was really there about 2 weeks, because then it took about 2 weeks for Ward to hire me on. So I was there for about 2 weeks, and then I got a call from them, and I felt bad about going, because the terminal manager was really cool, and I was just like, hey, I hate to do this to you, but I got an opportunity I can't turn down, and he understood. But
yeah,
so I was only there about a month, but I also felt bad because the HR lady that hired me kind of went out of her way to hire me for that whole reason. I quit on her but I was like, I got to go make my money. You know what I mean? I can't.
Right.
I could live off of it, but
you gotta,
I can't save
it.
Yeah. Yeah. I said,
yeah.
I never really talked to her again, but that manager completely understood where I was coming from.
Good.
But it's definitely been an interesting year. I kind of learned a lot, in life and different perspectives and things. And,
yep.
But it's, I'm not happy it happened, but also like, things could be a lot worse, and
things happen for a reason. I mean, yeah. You look back in 10 years and you say, well, it's all right now.
Yeah. Well, I'm starting to get there a little bit. Like the first month before I got that other job, I was just laying in my house, sleeping all day, you know, depressed. My life just changed dramatically. And then another thing that sucks is my girlfriend still works there, and all my friends basically work there. So what do I hear about all the time? Pitt, Ohio. I still know all the gossip at Pitt, Ohio to this day. You know, so like
there's no gossip. Makes it,
yeah, yeah.
What do you mean?
So, yeah. It makes
that water cooler you have at home and throw it out.
Yeah. It makes it hard when you're trying to get over something.
Right.
And all you're hearing about is that. You know what I mean? I actually had to say something to my girlfriend, like, don't talk to me about that.
You know how you take care of that real quick? You just Now take this to heart. You just tell her, look, you keep talking about this, I'm going to start talking about the woman I had before you, and let's see who's going to get a little pissed off first. Yes. Done.
Yeah, that would work out great.
Hear another word.
Even if that woman is imaginary.
More relationship advice from Ship.
That's it.
That should be a side hustle on the Hammerland Legends, their advice show.
Shipper on romance. Take the ship. Romance ship.
Yes.
I think that's how you get a frying pan upside the head.
Yes, it is. So
just have to know when to duck.
Talk when there's no frying pans around.
She can't reload that fast.
Gun safe lock. Throwing hands away.
No, hell, a gun safe lock. Change combination.
Do you remember a driver named Rodney Merrill? Did you ever meet him? He was actually before my time. He got let go before my time.
Wow.
I met him. Well, I haven't actually met him in person, but I've talked to him on the phone with some guys. And, he's pretty cool, but he owns his own truck now, and he hauled milk for a while. Now I think he's working for Landstar, but he hauled milk for a while. He said there's a pretty good amount of money in that, and that's kind of an interesting thing to haul.
Certainly a lot of weight in it, that's for sure. Those loads got heavy.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know if you ever met him back in the day.
No, he
used to be line haul, but that was before my time. So,
and it could be that you've seen him. And you just, like, maybe his name doesn't ring a bell.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Right.
Guys quitting our place. I know him to see. And then you finally get their name after they left 3 months.
I know. Everybody says, do you remember this guy? I was like, no.
Nope.
He was here for 10 years. I was like, I don't know what to tell you.
Hot pants.
there's some people that just have to make a lasting impression.
They do.
And I'm one of them.
Yes, you are. There is not a terminal around, as long as you could drive to it, that doesn't know you.
Yeah, I was spotted up in Utica, New York. I says, no, I wasn't up there. Oh, well, they said you were. What am I, Fast Eddie?
He's walking to say the word shipper. You always see, I know who he is.
But there's been, like, you know, you, like I said, you meet a lot of guys here at, you know, Pitt, and because we do what we do, and every, you know, everybody changes their bids every, you know, every 6 months.
Right, yeah.
You might see somebody for 6 months, and then all of a sudden you don't see them anymore, and you haven't, and you knew them to see them.
Well, not only that, but like before, we used to have the computers in the truck. Before the Mavens, it was the people nuts. Like you saw the person's name. Before that, you just call in and they'd give you
and they tell you.
Yeah, it's like, so I didn't know.
This is the tractor number.
I relayed with guys for years. I didn't know.
Yeah, didn't know.
I would maybe know their last name because it was on the paperwork.
Yep.
I wouldn't know their first name.
Yep.
Right.
But, like I said, I'm you know, sure one of us has probably seen him or met him at some point or another. And there's a lot of guys that are like that. I mean, it's amazing how big this.
Well, I mean, right now we employ 3,300 people at least,
but they're not all drivers.
Well,
but I mean, my point is, and that's where I was going, was that, you know, the company is growing, and you know. So there's a lot of new drivers. It's crazy,
well,
you know.
I used to think that all the time because at one point, I mean, I never thought I'd leave there. It happens, but I would see all these dock workers, you know, and I'd be like, "Who's that?" Like, I have no idea who that is, you know. And then there was one point where at least the Cincinnati terminal, it was kind of during that. I think it was just everywhere. There was at that same time where like XPO was offering $10,000. You know, all these companies are offering these big bonuses. ABF.
Right.
And there was like a stretch there where they hired like 20 people, and I knew nobody's name because I always, like, I knew everybody's name. I usually talked to everybody, and I'm like, I don't know who you are.
He was like normal.
How long you been? Right. Yeah. Well, yeah. After, you know, but I always used to think that it was just like, man, people just come and go from this place because some drivers only be there a couple of months, and some drivers be there for years, and.
Yeah, I mean, it's, I mean.
And I just don't, I'm terrible with names anyway. There's people that I have worked with, I'm at Pitt almost 28 years. There are people I've worked with that whole time. If I am lucky, I know their first name.
Yep.
And there's people I started with back in the late 90s. I maybe know their first name, but you put a gun to my head and tell me what their last name is?
I have no idea. Yeah, but I know what they look like. I've seen them. But it's one thing, years ago, I used to work the dock every morning when I came back. And I got to know the guys in the morning on the on the dock. You'd know them, and you know, you just get because you work with them. But now to actually go on the dock, I mean, there's a lot of guys I don't know. There's people out there because I haven't worked the dock in, I don't know, 15 years, 20 years, something like that. It's been a while.
I worked the dock 2 weeks when I first started.
Yeah, I know you did. Your first.
There's only one because Bill said, "You know what you're doing. Go. I need you to go to Land Air."
Okay.
This is me, the new guy, going to Land Air. It's a bid.
Yeah, well, it's good. It's really good. But Kyle, this has been fun catching up with you. We really appreciate you coming on, and we want you to keep in touch with us. Okay.
Yeah, I definitely will. I agree. It's definitely been nice to catch up, and I've been wanting to do this for a while. Just been going through the emotions and
going through the process. You know,
busy with life, and finally felt like it was time, and got me in pretty quick. Actually, I thought it might be a couple of weeks before you got me in.
When you sent me the text message, I was like, "Nope," because
pushed everybody else aside. It's like Moses.
Yeah.
Like,
hard
ways that you get
right in here. Old Moses. Yeah, he's got his staff out and parted though.
I don't want to see your staff.
Yeah.
Put your staff away. Yeah.
Keep it to yourself.
That night I was stuck on 78. That staff wasn't working. I threw that damn. I lit that thing up.
I don't want to see the staff or the burning bush. Nothing. Anyway.
If it's burning, it's probably
see a doctor.
They got a cream for that. Don't worry about it.
These guys are terrible. Anyway, hang on the phone with us after we sign off, Kyle. Just hang on with us for a few seconds.
I appreciate it.
Done.
But we appreciate you coming on and spending time and just because it was good to catch up. And we're going to have you on again. I want you to have you on. I want you to know there's always an open.
Hold on.
There's always
say it
an
a little
open
slower so you can enunciate your speech.
And we'd just love to have you back on whenever you want to come back on.
You need to cut him down on the caffeine.
I know, right?
Go ahead. We'll do another update someday. So
that would be cool, dude. That really would be. I'd love
get
to
more
do
people
that.
From Ward.
I mean, share the show with the guys out there, I'd love to hear from the agricultural guys too. You know,
I haven't talked to them a little bit because I don't do that anymore. But next time I'll be like, hey, if you're interested, because I would be you know, interesting to hear some of their stories who've been doing it a while or, you know, kind of grew up doing that. And I mean, every trucker has some kind of crazy story. Oh, real quick before we get off here, speaking of an interesting story, I forgot all about this because it's in a deep part of my brain that I want to forget about, but I got flashed by a man for the first time in Florida. A Florida man.
Florida man.
That's a heck of a thing, isn't it? It's like, you know.
It was midday, too. That's the craziest part. I was like, wow. Like,
Well, at least at midday, you can pretend you didn't see it. At night, when they turn the dome light on and just
Like,
why? I didn't need to see it.
My eyes.
You hear all the stories. Yeah, a woman flashed me. No. I got Long Johnson over here.
Oh, Short Johnson. Long John Silvers. Put those rush puppies away, bro.
I'm like, what do you want me to do? Clap? Say very impressive. Hold up a sign. 10.
8.5. Well, that sucks, dude. I feel bad for you because that.
I hope Ward has a good eye plan.
You get your own eyeballs out. All right, gotta get these.
Yeah. Well, they do offer counseling, so at least I got that.
Program.
You get that emotional support dog.
What's that? Like?
Help. Better help.
Better help. There you go.
Please be a sponsor. Help. We got truckers out here that need to talk.
That's right. They got to get something off their chest and out of their eyes, out of the deepest part of their brains.
They just have to come on the show. I get rid of that for you. Because you know what you tell me, everybody knows.
After they come on and have a show with you, they go away with PTSD. What are you talking about? Well, anyway. Thank you so much for coming on, Kyle. It's been a blast. We've had a great time. We hope everybody out there has had a good time listening to this show. And as always, we just like to have a good time. We take it seriously. We take what we do seriously. We take our job seriously. And we take the show seriously. But we like to have fun. And that's what really counts. Because, I mean, there's enough crap going on all around us. You know, there's enough stuff going on politically everywhere. You know, and I don't care what, I don't care how you vote. That's up to you. You do you, boo. I just look at it like, let's just... from time to time, just have a good time and just, you know, chit-chat and have fun. All that being said.
Don't forget to tip your bars.
There you
go.
Your
bartenders.
Tip your bars.
Tip your bartenders.
Throw it over.
All of those things being said. Mike, what should they do?
Share the show.
Freaking A. My brain is like, what's Shipper saying?
Give this boy a Valium. He's got to come off the caffeine.
He does. It's the caffeine. I apologize. Go ahead.
Share
the show. Where should they share the show? What should they do?
Facebook,
how
Instagram.
Can they share the show? How do they share the show on Facebook? Explain
they
that.
They share the show on all the social media platforms. Because you never know. TikTok could be done today.
Two more days.
Okay. Yeah. Anyway.
Well, you can share the show. However the hell you do it on your phone.
Bring it up on your phone. Just download
somewhere on there, there's a bunch of little...
Share.
Share.
And it comes up Facebook, hit share.
I think people...
This is the section for
dummies. I don't know, because nobody does it.
Well, you know, I finally shared
the
show.
You're nobody, you're on the show.
That's true.
Anyway, keep the hammer down in the hammer lane. Have a good night.
Goodbye.
He's fucked.